My name is John Tello. See, first slide. All right, so we are the Tellos, and that's my wife, that's my baby girl, and we have another one on the way that's due in a couple weeks. So we've had the privilege of being in Italy for 3 years, and we're looking forward to going back for another 4 years. So Italy, one of the questions we get asked is why Italy? Next slide. This is what people see when they see Italy. They see the Leaning Tower, the Colosseum, the history, the food, the cathedrals, the beaches, the art, all of this wonderful, beautiful imagery, history. Some of these buildings are old, before Christ. You know, Christ walked on some of the streets in Rome. You know, you just try to really imagine, you know, Paul was in Rome. You have the book of Romans, and we see all these great, beautiful things, but there's another side to Italy that not everybody has the chance of seeing. Next slide. Let me tell you just a couple simple facts, because this is why we're in Italy. You know, we are excited to be God's... Oh. You can put that on pause. Yeah, that slide. I had them out of order. My apologies. Yeah, so some of the little-known facts about Italy, because I'm going to show you a video next, is that 1% of Italians actually have a personal relationship with Christ, have a real, genuine relationship, which is very small. Okay, about 10% of the cities in Italy have an evangelical presence. Only 10%. So out of the 33,500, only 2,000 actually either have a church, a house church, some kind of evangelical presence. So where we're going to be moving, which is kind of northern central Italy in Bologna, for every 65,000 people, there's one church of 20 to 30. So to kind of give you guys an idea of what that would look like, Wheaton, about 53,000. So imagine all of Wheaton having one church that meets at a house of 20 to 30 people, and that's it. That gives you just a glimpse of the spiritual climate in Italy. And one other interesting fact is that there are more occult leaders in Italy than there are Catholic priests. Mind you, the Vatican is in Italy. The Vatican is in Italy. Each town, village, doesn't matter how small it is, has a Catholic church, and there's a priest there, and there are more occult leaders. So this is kind of what the spiritual climate looks like, and this is why we're in Italy, because we are there to share the gospel, share the truth, and share about that relationship that one can have with Christ, and an eternal security and hope. So go back to the previous one and do the video. This is going to give you just a different glimpse in video form.
Italy, beautiful yet dark. A land of contrasts and contradiction, long considered by many to be the home of Christianity. Yet, the reality is quite different. Few of Italy's 60 million people have embraced or even heard the gospel of grace. Even the most beautiful aspects of the country's culture fail to provide hope, leaving Italians with no solution for the unbearable weight of sin.
I was taking part of churches in Italy when I was a young kid, and most of the Italians do that, actually. But they go to Sunday to church, and they come out from the church. They come out from the church empty, because they have a lack of knowledge of the gospel.
In Italy, we need the gospel. We need Jesus Christ.
By God's grace, Italy is experiencing a new movement of men and women who are committed to seeing the gospel saturate the country. Their mission, with the help of global collaboration, is to equip the Italian church to plant and grow gospel-centered churches that will holistically live out the hope of the gospel in every corner of their society. God is moving in Italy. Will you join?
So we're part of this Italian collective, as different churches. One of those scenes where Jonathan Gilmore is his name, a missionary who grew up as an MK in Italy. That was our church. We're training leaders. We're training pastors. And we are trying to spread the gospel through its people. And so you can go to the next slide. So I want to share with you guys a little bit of that message of what it is that I get to go share with people. If you guys want to turn to your Bibles to Mark 1, come as you are. Come as you are. Many of us are familiar with this passage. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me. I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired servants and followed him. Next slide. So I kind of want to just break some of this down. You know, Jesus said to them, "Follow me." One of the interesting things, Jesus was looked at as a teacher, a master, a rabbi. He was called many of these things throughout the Gospels. And one thing is that usually rabbis, teachers, people in this level would never seek out their pupils. The pupils would always seek out their teachers. So Jesus is doing something countercultural here. He is calling his people. You know, so the interesting thing with that is God calls. You know, 1% of Italians have a personal relationship. How am I going to be able to reach the 99% in Italy? I can't do it. And it's true because I don't do it. God is the one that calls people to himself, which is, man, that's a load off my back that I do not have to worry about. Next slide. So they immediately, they left their nets and followed him. So how did they respond? You know, God calls and they followed. There has to be some kind of response from the people. You know, and God is using me, using my wife, using our team as a mouthpiece to call those around in Italy, inviting them to experience and have a relationship with God. But it's still up to them to make a decision. And so I have no part in that. And the neat thing is, the next slide is the next part where Christ says, "I will make you." If you look at the disciples' lives in this process, when he called them, when he said to them, you know, "Come, I will make you fishers of men," and they came, they didn't know exactly who he was. That wasn't the point that they were saved, that they realized that this was the Christ. This was God incarnate. In that process that Jesus walked with the disciples, somewhere in that process, seeing miracles, seeing him talk and speak, is when they realized that he was the Christ. And God is the one that moved their hearts and revealed himself to them. And the interesting thing with that, God was a relational God. He did life with his disciples. He ate with them. They did ministry together. They healed the sick. And he did life with these disciples for 3 years. How much time was invested in the disciples' lives? So it's a relational, it's a slow process. You know, a lot of times, and it's a lifetime process of getting to know and having a deeper relationship. Their relationship with God didn't end when he died on the cross, it continued. And so it's a continual process that goes on. And ministry, missions work is really slow, especially in Italy. And I'm like, Lord, I want to see these people come to know you. I desperately want them to know the truth. But it's not my job because God calls. It's not my job because they have to respond. It's not my job because God is the one that makes himself known to them. My job is just to be the mouthpiece to call. And I know it's a slow process. And if I meet somebody once a week for an hour, yeah, God may move on their heart and they might be saved. But if you think about how much time these disciples spent with Jesus, how many hours, how long did it take them to come to know Christ? And if you equate that to how much time I spend with people in the community in Italy, it's going to be years, possibly, before they realize that Christ is living and that Christ has a precious gift for them. Next slide. The interesting thing, he used a terminology that they understood. They were fishers who fished fish. And he said, I will make you fishers of men. Something they understood that they could relate to. And the interesting thing with that is that we are uniquely skilled in something. Even before you have a relationship with God, there's an ability, there's a gifting that God has given you. For analogy purposes, a net that God has equipped you with. Once you come to know him, that is the net that God wants you to use for what? To build relationships with people so that God can use you as an instrument of calling them to himself. And after that, God does everything else. And so it's really neat just to see that process. Next slide. You know, God calls us. God calls people. We don't. People need to respond. Will they respond? After they respond, it's a process of coming to know and the realization that Christ is God, is Lord. But that process never ends. And once you realize that, how are you uniquely skilled? What net has God given you to call people to himself, to catch men for the kingdom? And that is the message that I get to share with Italians. And I'm going to share a little bit of my story. Next slide. I'm an artist. I'm one who sees texture, who sees color, who enjoys the paint, who gets lost in looking up at the clouds and daydreaming and just seeing different facets of life that a lot of people miss. A lot of people think I'm kind of weird sometimes because I speak on a different level that most don't understand. Can God use me? That was a question growing up that I always wondered. Can God use me? And I wasn't sure. People told me, your art ability is great. It'll be a good therapy for you. It'll be nice for you when you're stressed out to sit down and do something artistic. But it's about God's word and preaching his word, which is true. But then why did God make me into an artist? And throughout my journey, God has shown me, God does not make mistakes. God is not up in heaven looking at John saying, whoops, well, I hope he can figure out how to use that skill. No, he made us a whole being for a specific purpose, and that is to use our skill set to call people to himself through relationships that we built and the common elements that we have. And he uses art in Italy. Next slide. So what I do is arts ministry. This is a very foreign concept for people in America and especially in Italy, arts ministry. So what is arts ministry? How does arts ministry work? Does it work? The interesting thing in Italy, about 90% of like the most precious art, wealth in terms of art is in Italy. Italians, art is part of their DNA. It's something that they accept. It's something that they understand. And it is something that they dialogue with. So what better way of sharing Jesus than through a language and a medium that they understand and they can relate to? Next slide. So these are just some examples. Well, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. I should look at my... So here's an illustration of what arts ministry does. It's Valentine's Day. I didn't plan this. It's Valentine's Day. So many of you men, hopefully, have gotten your significant others some kind of present. Some kind of, you know, a lot of times we use this, flowers, a bouquet of flowers. What purpose does a bouquet of flowers have? They're fragrant. They look beautiful. They make your space just radiate with beauty. But you can't eat it. You can't sit on it. Like, there's no function other than to be enjoyed. But more than just that, when you come through the door, you know, after getting the bouquet of flowers, you don't just hand it to your wife and walk away. She's going to think, okay, what did you do? What are these for? If you leave flowers in hand without saying anything, it could be a multitude of messages, and their mind just goes. But usually there's a message behind that bouquet of flowers. It's the message of, I love you. I'm sorry, I love you. I haven't shown you. And, you know, but I love you. There's a message behind that. And this is what arts ministry does. Arts ministry, God uses that to prepare the hearts of the people so that they can hear the message. When you as a woman receive that gift, it softens your heart and it prepares you to be able to hear that message, I love you, and for that kiss that comes afterwards or the hug, like, I love you. And that's what arts ministry does. Arts ministry, the visuals, the textures, the colors, communicate something to people who see it. And I get to share the message, God loves you. God loves you. There's something unique about the beauty that you see through this piece of art, through this sculpture, through this music. God is telling you, I love you. And so, how does it look? I do art out on the street, evangelistically. I teach art classes to the community. I do arts camps. I do arts shows. Art, art, art. In every and any way possible to build relationships with people. To build relationships with people. It's not about the art. What excites me is the message that I get to share after I create the art. Because that is the message that changes lives for eternity. And so let me tell you one simple, quick story of how that works. So I do seminars on, you know, with young people at arts camp. There's one I was doing on how to use art evangelistically. So one thing I do is I create prints of my work, real small, 4x6, carrying them in my bag. You'll see me with a bright orange bag around. And I always have them with me. And when I get on the bus, people know that I'm a foreigner, on the train, in the market. So what are you doing here? Well, I'm an artist. Oh, really? What do you do? We dialogue a little bit. We talk. I get to share a little bit of some of the things I create. And then I pull out this piece of art, and I said, can I give you a gift? Really? Yeah. I give him one of my pieces of artwork. And mind you, God has changed me. I used to be a realist. Now I'm an abstract artist. Because abstract art forces people to ask questions. So I give him a piece of abstract art, a print. Well, what is this? This is how they respond. What is this? What's art? Well, no, really, what's the story behind it? Well, if you have some time, I'd love to share it with you, but I know you're on your way somewhere or doing something. I don't want to take up any of your... No, no. Their curiosity kicks in. No, really, tell me. And with each piece of artwork, there's some kind of message. It's a nugget of truth that I interweave in it. And then I get to share with them what that message is. It's got our church's information on the back, and I've just planted a seed or watered it. And they take it in an excited way. So if I was to carry around tracts and tell people about Jesus, they'd be running scared. You know, Christians are in the other category in Italy. We are looked as like we are part of a cult trying to brainwash kids, trying to. And I know that sounds drastic, but it's true. But the neat thing is people are willing to engage in art. It doesn't matter if it's biblical art, because a lot of their art has biblical themes in the churches, in the Vatican, in the cathedrals, and they accept that, and they're willing to dialogue. So what better way than through art? So that just kind of gives you a simple glimpse of what I get to do. And I brought a series of, part of a series of paintings I did. I want to explain just one thing with that real quick. This is a painting, a series of paintings based on the book of Revelation. You'll see one element which is common in all of them. Because how do you contextualize, how do you talk to them in a way that they understand? And so there's a gold in all of them. It's called the doratura, which translates to the gold plating. And this gold, I've taken it out of their context, because that gold is the gold that you see in the cathedrals, on the ceilings, in the halos behind Jesus. It's a very predominant gold that is a familiar element to them. But I'm taking it outside of their context. When I have an art show in the church, and we invite the community, would never step into the church, but because it's an art show, they will come. And not only that, they'll see this element in the artwork. Hold on, is this okay? Like, how many of us are familiar with Coca-Cola? We all are. All of a sudden, you come to church, and there's Coca-Cola bottles with the same script that says Coca-Cola, but it's yellow and green. That would make you do a double take, like, hold on, what's going on? What is that? Hold on, Coca-Cola bottles are not that color. Who's trying to pull a fast one? What's going on? So in that same sense, this gold is something that they understand, but it forces them to wrestle and to ask questions, why? And those questions can lead then to conversations on, well, this is a beautiful element that God created. Did you know that there was gold in the tabernacle? Did you know that the New Jerusalem talks about all these jewels and all these things and all these beautiful things that represent God's glory? Really? So just redeeming a material that has been used for other things and bringing it back to God and as a way of sharing Jesus with them. So there's so much opportunity, and how was God going to use this artist? And God is using this artist through making art, through teaching art, through being with artists to share about Jesus. And how awesome is that? God creates us to be a whole being. And my wife wanted to be here with you guys and share a little bit about her ministry. Right now I'm going to shift focuses a little bit. Another thing that we get to do, you can do the next slide. My wife started this ministry. It's called Alianza Tesori Raggianti. It's translated Radiant Treasures Alliance. One of the things that people do not know and are not aware of in Italy is that they have a huge issue with victims of trafficking. So next slide. What is human trafficking? It's an organized criminal activity in which human beings are treated as possessions to be controlled and exploited is by being forced into prostitution involuntarily. Next slide. So let me give you some statistics. In Italy, prostitution is legal. You see women on the streets, on the roundabouts, everywhere. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, they're out there. There was a Bible study I went to with our field leader, 15 minutes away. We were doing about 30 miles an hour. In a 15-minute ride, I counted over 50 women on the street. It's not hidden behind closed doors. It's not, you know, there's 25 to 30 or 50,000 prostituted persons on the street in Italy. And that's the ones they actually can count. It's the third highest percentage of men who pay for sex or across the whole world. They say about one out of every four men pays for sex in Italy, which is staggering. It's the highest number of identified victims in Europe per capita. So how does this happen? How does this occur? So imagine you're in a very difficult country where poverty is a huge issue. Somebody comes telling you, hey, there's an opportunity in Italy. We have a new hotel that's going up, but we need people. Will you send your daughters? In the hopelessness that they're in, that's an answer to them. Yeah, but we don't have the money. We can't afford to send them. Don't worry, we'll cover it. We'll cover it. You can pay us back slowly. And the women are off. And when they arrive, surprise, it's not what it seems. All of a sudden, your controller has your paperwork. You don't speak the language. You have no friends, no connections. And you're forced to do something that you never thought you would be doing. Some of these girls start at ages 12 or 13. We meet these girls on the street that have been doing it for 4, 5, 6 years, and they're only 20, 21 years old. God loves these women. God wants to provide hope for these women, a way out. But what do you do when you have no resources? What do you do when your churches are only 20, 30 strong? What do you do when you see this day to day to day? And my wife, bless her heart, God has put it on her heart to do something. And so what she has done, she's created an alliance. What does that mean? It's this umbrella for all these ministries to come under, to work together, to be resourced together, to make a difference for Christ in these women's lives. And when I say organizations, there's a pocket of two people who work with this church. That's one organization. There's a pocket in Rome of three people who are trying to make a difference there. These are a group of women, small group. We think of organization, we think this highly functional machine who has resources to make a difference. So what do? And this is what my wife is working on and has been working on for the last 3 years to provide a larger umbrella so that the one gynecologist who's in Italy can help every group. The one Christian lawyer that we know in all of Italy can help all the ministries nationwide when they have a need. When the woman wants to come out, where do you send them? Are you going to take them into your home? Are you going to provide them a job? Are you going to love on them? We have one safe house that we can send them to, and we're hoping to do more. but working as a collective unit, as the body was meant to be, is what my wife is trying to do. And I love her to death, and the things that she is doing are incredible. So this is kind of what she gets to do in Italy, local outreach. So in a local way, she's part of a local ministry. They go out twice a week, or twice a month, out on the streets. They give women gifts, a letter telling them that God loves them, their phone number, if you want to have coffee, build a relationship, we'd love to see you. You know, have a drop-in center that's open that she'll help man. There's a safe place in the church, an office, that they can come in. What are their needs? Do they need food? Do they need somebody to go with them to the doctor to help translate? Do they, you know, because most of the people who are trafficked, most of the women who are trafficked into Italy are foreigners. There's very few Italians. They're Nigerian. They're Eastern European, Romania, Russia, the Czech. These are women who don't know the language, so they need help. So we have a drop center. My wife and I are working on a micro enterprise project. So a woman comes to you and says, I want out. I want out. I don't speak the language. I was brought in when I was 12, 13 years old. I don't have an education. I have no skills. But I need a job so that I can get off the street, so that I don't not have to do this work anymore. What are you going to do? You can't send them to college. You can't, you know. So we're working on a micro enterprise business, a couple different ideas. If you pass by my table, one of the things I do is I make handmade pens. So I've been buying equipment since I've been back, buying wood and acrylics, hardware. And I'm going to teach these women how to make handmade pens so that they have an alternative trade to get out of what they're doing. We have two women right now who are wanting to get out, but yet they're going back to the streets because we have no way of giving them a job right now. And that just breaks my heart. And so we're trying to do different things like this. We're looking into leather work. We're partnering with another ministry in the States that we have come across during our time back. And God wants these women to be freed. And so I am selling these pens to raise more money so that we can have more tools, more equipment for the women. They're in the back table, so please help. They're helping the ministry. And then we want to do a safe house. A safe house where these women can get wraparound care. They're so broken. You go to them and you just see the deadness in their eyes. They're dead because that's how they survive. And we want to love them as Jesus loved them. So that's kind of what we're doing locally. Sorry. Next slide. She's the founder and director of this ministry. They exist to equip, empower, and unite the Christian workers who are doing this type of work. Next slide. This is kind of their work groups that she has developed, and these are the different things that she's trying to do on a national level. They have a work group who's trying to establish ministry and partner development, making churches aware of what's going on and having churches come alongside of us to help combat this issue. Training and resources. Last 3 years, we helped facilitate the translation of a 500-page curriculum that helps train caregivers who are caring for survivors on how to do it through a biblical process. Through a biblical foundation. First of its kind ever in Italy. All these ministers were doing it blind without any way of training their staff, being trained themselves. And so we took it on to translate a curriculum. And back in October, for the first time, they got the printed copies, and there's ministries who are using it. Like, how awesome is that? How awesome is that to be able to provide the first resource of its kind to help victims? You know, victim protection and intervention. How are we going to combat this issue in terms of preventing, protecting, and how do we intervene? We're trying to make advocacy and legislative reform. How can we make law changes on a national level to combat this issue? Safe house development. We're looking into developing a safe house down the road where we can love them like Christ did, where we can have them replace their family or what they know, the only thing they have, which are the controllers, and replace it with a church that loves them and that will say, we'll adopt you. We'll help you. We'll train you on something. And prayer and intervention and mobilization. How do we have a country of believers praying for this issue? Because prayer is the foundation of all ministry. So let me tell you one success story. In our church, it took a couple years to build relationships, but there was this lady. We'll call her Hope. She showed an interest. She took the card and the phone number. Some of the women in this church started meeting with her, having coffee with her, building a relationship, spending time. She said, I need a job. So this church took it on themselves and said, okay, what can we do? I helped them design all the assets. I do graphic design and stuff for local churches and ministries, and I helped her design a logo, a website, everything to do a cleaning business. And now she's been saved through the discipling. Her boyfriend has come to know the Lord, and at the end of last year, they were baptized in the church, and they're part of the church. How awesome is that? Just one so far we've seen come out, have a success story. Some of these women come out and go back to it. They usually say one out of every 100 women who's in this line of work makes it out. So imagine all of you guys are in that, and only 1.5 of you make it out. We want to change those numbers. We want to make a difference. Not because of any other reason than God calls us to. And they are precious. They are treasures in his eyes. And so, next slide. This is, a small video from my wife and some of her staff.
Alleanza Tesori Regenti exists to equip, empower, and unite practitioners and advocates across the nation of Italy. We want to help them be more effective in combating and preventing commercial sexual exploitation and restoring victims of trafficking in the name of Christ.
Human trafficking is a big problem mm-hmm. in Italy, and serious problem in Italy. We want to combat it. With gospel, with the power of God, and I'm so thankful to God because ATR is an answer to this problem, because working together is so better to work alone.
I believe that we're going to be strong. I believe that we are going to see lives changed, and I believe in the freedom of people. What works is when we talk together, when we share ideas, and so I think, yes, we're going to see change.
It takes a network to break a network. We see a network of oppressors working well together, collaborating well together in Italy, and in order for any of that to change and for us to see any type of change on the streets of Italy, we need to work together and come together in the name of Jesus Christ, and that is when we will see joy, see victory, in the lives of these treasures, as well as in the ministries, and for the nation of Italy itself.
We need an alliance
to bring together all the ministries and all the people whom God has raised in Italy. We need an alliance because none of us can fight trafficking, none of us can prevent it, none of us can really effectively care for the people who are in bondage. So we're better together, and we can do so much more when we bring together our strengths and our passion to one common purpose.
In Italy, there are thousands and thousands of people who are trapped in prostitution, who are victims of the sex trade, victims of human trafficking. It's a huge problem in Italy. So every victim has a lot of needs. They have medical needs, they have needs, physical needs, maybe they even need food, shelter, they need a safe place to sleep. They may need, they probably need help to learn the language, Italian. Maybe they need to learn to read and write. A lot of our victims don't know how to read or write. They may need help with their children. Most of all, they need to trust people, build trust. So the alliance is very important because with all these needs that one person has, one person can't meet all those needs because there's so many. And not even one organization, really, can take care of all their needs. So the alliance is incredibly important so that we can all work together to take care of the needs. And it's already happened in the past, even a few months ago, where one victim came off the streets in a city in the south of Italy. However, they didn't speak the language that she spoke. She spoke only Spanish. So together we networked, and one person here in Bologna served as a translator. Another people in the north of Italy served as giving her advice on giving the other organization advice on where she should go to stay, what safe house. Another organization actually provided transportation and brought her there. So as you can see, even in one case, it requires a whole lot of different people working together. This is a brand new, ATR is a pioneer ministry. It's a pioneer network. This is the first time where all these different organizations are getting together. Super important. When we say organizations, we're talking about a few people in Rome, a few people in Naples, a few people in Genoa, a few people in Bologna. So we're all these little, we say organization, but we're actually really small groups of people. So we have to work together. We have to share our resources. We have to share our knowledge. We have to share maybe the one Christian lawyer that we know in this country. We have to share the one, you know, the few Christian gynecologists that we know. We need to share these resources because if not, we can't help out people effectively. So I'm excited to be a part of ATR, and our prayer is that the Lord uses it. We know God loves unity. He blesses unity. Mm-hmm. And so we pray that ATR will be a reflection of the Trinity, that we'll work beautifully together and in harmony. Always with the same heart and purpose, and that's to see Jesus call many of these victims to himself.
So why do we do what we do? For Christ. We want to see these treasures come to know him. So what can you do? You guys are over here in Plainfield. What can I do? If that doesn't break your heart, I don't know what would. What can I do? How can I help in Italy? Well, a ton of different ways. We have information on how you can, more about the ministry. We have tons of projects that we need help with. Myself and my wife, we moved from a remote area in Italy because the ministry grew and we needed to be in a more central location, larger city. So my wife and I are trying to get back so we can continue this work. So we are looking for more ministry partners to partner with us because we are a piece of the bigger puzzle. And we have individuals, we have churches, and people who believe in what we're doing and are sending us out so that we can be an extension of them. And so I would ask you, will you partner with us? Is God moving on your heart to partner with us? We're needing to raise $2,700 more per month so that we can get back in May. Would you prayerfully consider being a partner? If we had 27 people at $100 a month, we would be able to buy tickets and head on back and continue the work. Like I said, God is doing great things. God is doing amazing things to draw people to himself in a broken world that desperately needs Jesus. So if you feel God may be calling you, you want more information, you want to meet on a personal level, I live in Ohio, but I'll come back and meet with you. Share a little bit more. I'll be back at the table. I would love to share more about what's going on, give you information on how you can become part of what God is doing to change Italy and draw it to itself. We would love for you to be a part of it. And we find it a privilege ourselves to be called to this work. And don't feel intimidated, don't feel pressure, but if God is moving in your heart, listen. God is the one that moves hearts. God's the one that calls. And I have the pens, and we have that to help raise money. We're trying to be as creative as possible to do everything we can. But I'm so grateful for a church like you guys who is willing to have a missionary like me come up here and just really share about what God is doing. It should excite you. It should excite you that God cares for the lost. And let me challenge you before I go. Where on that journey are you? Remember the time when God called you. How is God making you into who he wants you to be? Have you responded? If you haven't responded, this is why I'm going to Italy to share this. Seek God out. If you seek God out, God will find you. But if you have made a decision, have walked with Christ, what are you doing? What are you doing with your net, with your skill set to be used as a mouthpiece for the people around here in Plainfield and the areas? We are relational beings. God is a relational God. And how are you using your relationships to share the love of Jesus with those around you? That is one thing I'd love for you guys to think about. But thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen, and let me just pray. Father God, we thank you so much for today, for your heart for the lost, and how desperately you want people to know you, and how you have called this world to yourself. God so loved the world that you gave your only son, that whoever believes in you will not perish but have life everlasting. And we're so privileged to be used by you as an instrument to call people. So we just thank you for who you are, and we just pray for Italy, for the lost there, for the people who are working there, and just for everything that you're doing there to draw people to yourself. And I just pray for this church. May their hearts abound. May they be people who just share your word, share you, share your love, share your resources to make an impact for the kingdom, eternity, forever. May we not be so focused on here and now. May our perspective be an eternal perspective that you can use to transform this world for yourself. So we just thank you and love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.